Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sachem, daf Pei Aleph. Okay, we should be up to the new Mishnah on Pei Beis. We're not. We're a little bit behind. Let's get ourselves back up to the Mishnah on Pei Beis and begin today's topic. But before we get to today's topic, just a quick wrap-up of yesterday. Yesterday we learned that in order to be deferred to Pesach Sheni, so you have to be in Miyad. You have to be individuals. So the Torah says Ish Ish when we're individuals. Individuals just doesn't mean just one person, but anytime that we represent a minority of the Jewish people, so we get deferred to Pesach Sheni. If we are majority, if the majority of the people are Tameh, but not just Tameh, but Tumas Meis, so then we don't get deferred to Pesach Sheni, but rather we bring together, all together, in a state of Tumah, the Pesach Rishon. That's the basic halacha, that's what we learned yesterday. A good part of yesterday's discussion is half and half, chatzi chatzi. So what if we're half-half? What if half the population, some may half the population is tahor? Not really a question that's going to result in a practical halachic discussion. The chances of being exactly half, I understand, are very, very slender. But the point being, however, just conceptually, just from an abstract perspective, what becomes of our obligation when we're half-half? So if you remember yesterday, we had no less than three opinions on this matter of when the Jewish people are half-half. The first opinion we saw yesterday was Rav. Rav says that when we're half-half, so we all bring on karma on Pesach Rishon, everybody. How are you going to do that? So half the Jewish people are going to bring in a state of Tahara, and half the people are going to bring in a state of Tumah. That's all. Why doesn't anyone get deferred? Because only a minority gets deferred. But if we're no minority, so then you don't get deferred to Pesach Sheni. So therefore, nobody's a minority. Meaning we have half the people are Tahara and half the people are Tumah, so everyone's going to bring on Pesach Rishon. That is Rav's position. Then we had Rav Kahana version 1, Rav Kahana version 2. That would form out opinions 2 and 3. The first Rav Kahana says that the Tahorim bring on Pesach Rishon. And then what happens to the second group? The second group brings on Pesach Sheni, meaning half is not a majority, and so therefore the half are going to get deferred, and so therefore you have half the Jewish people bringing on Pesach Rishon, and then the other half will bring on Pesach Sheni. That's the... That is Rav Kahana version number 1. And then Rav Kahana version number 2 says, no, half the first half are going to bring on Pesach Rishon. And as far as the second half is concerned, a glitch in the system where they're not going to bring Pesach at all. Meaning, why not? Well, they can bring on the first one because they don't represent the majority. On the other hand, they don't bring on Pesach Sheni because they don't represent a minority. Meaning, being that you're half, you're neither majority nor you're a minority. And so therefore, that group, that half is Tameh, is going to be stuck not being able to bring Pesach Rishon nor Pesach Sheni. I mean, what can we say about that? They're like an ones. It's beyond their control, right? As I mentioned yesterday, hard to imagine that they're going to incur any type of liability for not bringing the Karban Pesach. It's just that circumstances are such they just simply won't bring the Karban Pesach that year. Good. So that takes us through. Yeah, so of those three opinions, which ones do we follow? Unclear. The Gemara spent a lot of time discussing because there were brises supporting every position. I don't know. I don't know what the end result of that was.
The emphasis is on majority or the emphasis on minority?
Right. I mean, that's really the question. I know. I understand. That's really one of the key components of this whole abstract discussion. You know, what do we put our focus on?
I know it's not that practical, but I mean, happen that it could happen. But when would you count?
Correct.
No, and the other minute, it could be,
It's a fluctuating, situation.
That's
I understand.
Really
I understand. It's right. It's very hard to imagine. Okay, and then we moved on to the discussion in the Gemara yesterday of what determines a majority. So there was a discussion yesterday in Machlokas amongst the Tanaim. Does one create a majority, meaning that I have nearly 50-50? It's just that I have one more person Tameh. Sorry. I have one more person Tameh than I do Tahor. So is that going to constitute a majority? So that was a discussion yesterday. There was an opinion in the Gemara that that's not going to constitute a majority. You need two to constitute a majority, though that's not the way we hold the halacha. Even one is going to constitute a majority. We had a discussion yesterday about Shevet. What if just one tribe is Tameh? So, as we learned yesterday, there are opinions in the Gemara that even one tribe is going to constitute a Kahal. That's a congregation, and therefore, that tribe is able to bring Pesach Betumah in the state of Tumah, even though, from a popular standpoint, they only represent a minority, but as far as the Shevet is concerned, they are a full unit.
In the case of having majority and doing one number of that, himself. Yeah.
Ah, so that way. Hold on a second. I'm up to that now. And then the last discussion that we had yesterday was what's going to happen now if we're at the point of half and half, meaning we're at the exact point of half-half, and we want to actually solve the problem. So what do we do? So that was a machlokus between Rav and Ula. Rav was of the opinion what we're going to do is we're going to mitame echamehem b'sheretz. We'll take a sheretz, a dead bug. All right, there are only 8 species that are going to transmit tuma. We'll take a sheretz, we'll simply touch it to one of the people. Good, you're tame. Good. Now you represent the majority. Okay, no longer at half-half, but now you represent the majority.
Would that tuma person take it?
Huh? So I guess. Okay, yeah. So that was Rav's solution. Ula's solution was no. Actually, what we're going to do is we're going to ask one of the Torah people to go derech rechoka, to go far away. And so therefore you're going to be exempt from the Karban Pesach. He no longer will be included in the count, and therefore we're going to have a majority of Tamei people. And then the Gemara quoted Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman says, who's going to listen? Meaning, to make somebody Tamei, that's fine. In other words, okay, now you're Tamei, now you're Tamei. And anyway, by the way, you're now going to be able to bring the Karban Pesach because the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei. But who's going to listen to you and say, you know what, I know you slept here, go back home. Now, who's going to listen to you? So Rav Nachman took on the position of Rav. Okay, and the last thing we discussed, a lot of topics, and the last thing that we discussed over the course of the last couple of days, which was the end of yesterday's Gemara, is what if I have the majority of people, of the Jewish people, are Tamei with Tumas Ziva, and only a minority are Tamei with Tumas Mace? So what then becomes? So, the... So Rav says the people that are Tamei Mei, so they're kind of stuck, meaning they're not going to make Pesach Rishon or they're going to make Pesach Sheni. So they're not going to make Pesach Rishon because they only represent a minority. And again, you only can bring Pesach Betuma if the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei with Tumas Meis. So they're not going to do the majority, and they're not going to do Pesach Sheni because, remember the basic rule, the Pesach Sheni exists only when there was Pesach Rishon. If there was no Pesach Rishon for whatever reason, so then there's no makeup. Makeup is only when there was an original date. But without an original date, there's no makeup. Okay, that's basically where we ended off with yesterday. I remember the final thing that we ended off yesterday was that conversation between Rav and Shmuel, where they actually weren't conversing to one another. You know, through middlemen, they were having an argument with one another. Well, Shmuel basically says, I don't understand. What's going on over here? No Pesach? So Rav's answer was very simple. Yes, that's correct. No Pesach that year. Okay, I'm obviously truncating the whole discussion. That is where we got up to. We're continuing. We're on the very bottom of Pei Amud Aleph. Elokeinu de lo efshar, lo efshar. Hachanami lo efshar. Itmar. It's about 5 lines from the bottom of the Amud on Pei Amud Aleph on 80A. And the Gemara now is going to continue with this discussion. We just have a couple more cases that we need to go through. And then we're moving on to quote-unquote today's daf. Let's say the majority of the Jewish people are Tamei Meis, and the minority are Tumas Zav. Okay, good. So in other words, Pesach with Tumah. Rav Huna Amrayin Teshlam Pesach Chaba B'Tumah. So Rav Huna says, okay, but no makeup. Meaning, there's no Teshlamim. And Rav Adabav Amrayin Teshlam Pesach Chaba B'Tumah. And Rav Adabav says, yes, there's going to be a makeup date. Meaning, for those few people who are Zav, they can't bring Pesach Rishon, because again, Pesach Rishon is only for those people who are Tamei Meis. So, what are they going to do? They're going to bring Pesach Sheni. So now it's subject to a machlokus amarayim, whether or not they can bring Pesach Sheni. Now, what's at the core of this machlokus over here? Meaning, it's not a regular Pesach this year. This year is Pesach B'Tumah. And now, we're debating whether or not there's a makeup date for Pesach B'Tumah. So, name of a hakamifli, the mandam in Tashlum and Pesach about Batuma Kasavatuma de Huihi Batsibor, or mandam Yeshashlum and Pesach about Batuma Kasavatuma Sutra Batsibor. And so the Gemara now seems to give an excellent presentation of what is at the core argument over here. Perhaps, suggests the Gemara, it's a question of how to view Pesach Batuma. This is a key discussion that we've had already a number of times, and that's basically as follows. When the majority of Jewish people are Tamei Meis, we bring Pesach B'Tumah. Is the Torah saying it's totally okay, that's Tumah Hotra, or is the Torah saying, right? Again, I don't have a better way to express the Tumma Dechuya with, you know, just a simple like, yeah, it's okay. Right? not the best situation, but okay, it'll pass. You know, you ask permission for something, and, you know, you get that response of, oh, okay. So, but in other words, is that what the Torah is saying? So, if it's Tumma Hotra, so that means this is a regular Karban Pesach. It happens to be the Jewish people are Tameh. The Torah says, fine, I'm totally fine with it. Permission granted. It's as if you're not even Tameh. So if this Pesach B'Tumah is Hotra, so then one can only imagine that for those people, for whatever reason, don't bring on Pesach Rishon. They have a Pesach Sheni to make it up. But if it's only Dechuya, it means that the Pesach Rishon, yeah, we brought Pesach Rishon this year and we brought a B'Tumah, but it wasn't the best. And so therefore, the Torah grants permission, but only for Pesach Rishon. Now you want to talk about a makeup date for a Pesach Rishon, which quite frankly, happened with permission, but it was only pushed through. So the Gemara suggests maybe that's at the core machlokas, which seems to be an excellent way of explaining this machlokas. Amrilah. So the Gemara says, no, dekulei amatoma dechuya b'tzibur. The Gemara says, no, let's not do that. Let's suggest that everyone holds Tumah Dechuya, that really Tumah is not Mutter, but Dechuya, meaning, eh? And Uvahapligi, Marsavar, we're on the very top of Pamid Beis, Marsavar, Tahara Matche Tumah, Alo Matche, Marsavar, Afilu Tumah, Nami Matche. So, and the question over here is, just a simple question of, whether or not there's going to be a makeup date, even though it's Tumah, it's Pesach B'Tumah. Meaning, that it's Dechuya. We all agree it's Dechuya. Which, by the way, I find the Gemara just keeps coming back to again and again. Meaning, even though we've touched this very basic issue of Pesach B'Tumah, is it Dechuya or Hutra, almost to every time the Gemara discusses it, the Gemara kind of just always reverts back to, it's really Dechuya. It's really Dechuya, but it's just a question of, even in its Dechuya state, do we say this is Pesach? Meaning it's a carbon Pesach with all the rights, regulations, rules of carbon Pesach, including a makeup date, or no? Meaning it's Dechuya and, truth be told, we don't have a makeup date. This is just a one-time opportunity. Okay. Ad Khan, the Gemara ends that question. One more question to go. Itmar. Hayu Shlishi son. Let's divide the Jewish people into thirds. Okay? Again, obviously this is conceptual, but let's divide the Jewish people into thirds. So Shlishitam Zavin, Shlishitam Taharon, Shlishitam Tamei Mesim. So a third of the Jewish people are Zav. A third of the Jewish people are Tahorim, and a third of the Jewish people are Tamei Mes. Okay. So, what's the problem? The problem is like this. I don't have a majority of the people, Jewish people, are Tamei Mes. Only 33% are Tamei Mes. So obviously this year we're not bringing Pesach B'Tumah. Okay. So Amar Rabbi Mani Bar Patish, Osam Tamei Mesim, Enam Osam Losa, Rishon Velosa Sheni. So, Rabbi Mani Bar Patish says, you know what we're going to do with those third? That 33% who are Tamei Meis? Unfortunately, nothing. Meaning, well, not what we're going to do, but what are they going to do? Nothing. Not Pesach Rishon, not Pesach Sheni. So, Berishon Lo Avdi, Higdilu Zavon Altar, and Lo Avdi B'Tumah Havale, Tamei Meisim Yuta, Omiyota Lo Avdi Berishon. So again, they don't compromise the majority. And the only way they can bring Pesach B'Tumah for Pesach Rishon is only if they compromise the majority. Obviously, at 33%, they're not. Good. B'Sheni Lo Avdei. So why not bring now Pesach Sheni? Meaning, okay, so if they're not a majority, they're a minority, correct? And they should be bringing now Pesach Sheni? The Gemara says, no, they're not. Because when factoring, when doing the accounting now for Pesach Sheni, what are we going to look at? We're going to look at how many Tamei people are there. And here for Pesach Sheni, we're not going to differentiate between why you're Tamei. Meaning, we're just going to look at one question. Who's Tamei, who's not Tamei? 66% of the Jewish people are Tamei. So now, that means that they are a majority. And we know the rule. A majority doesn't get deferred to Pesach Sheni. So Nitzar Fizavimim Tamei Mesim, Dalav Debrishon, Havlu Ruba, Vruba Lo, Matzul Pesach Sheni. And therefore, they're not going to get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. So, another scenario, another circumstance where, just simply because of circumstances, you don't bring Pesach that year. Neither Berishon nor B'Sheni. So again, in other words, conceptually we understand. The makeup day for Pesach Sheni, it's a wonderful idea. We miss Pesach Rishon, good, we get a makeup date. But as we're now learning the details of the halacha, not for everybody. Not everyone's going to get a deferment to Pesach Sheni. Again, once you understand the basic rules of majority, minority. Who's a majority? Who's a minority? How do we do the accounting in order to determine who's a majority and who's a minority? So now we understand that not all under all circumstances that you have to are you going to be afforded this opportunity of a makeup date.
Including somebody who was traveling and was
so b'derech rechoka, so that the Torah says you get a deferment. You get to bring Pesach Sheni and Tamei Meis. The problem is that for Pesach Rishon, we only count those who are Tamei Meis. So they're only 33%. So they're good. So no Pesach Rishon. And then we go to Pesach Sheni. So now we say, okay, who's Tamei? So now we see that 66% of the Jewish people are Tamei. So now they don't get a pass on Pesach Sheni because only a minority can bring Pesach Sheni. They're not a minority. Okay. It's accounting. This is all. It all comes to accounting. And how do we count towards Pesach Rishon? How do we count towards Pesach Sheni? I mean, look, we had very similar ideas yesterday, where the Gemara yesterday introduced the idea that women, which quite frankly we really didn't discuss in any type of detail, but there are some opinions that say that women are obligated in Pesach Rishon, but not Pesach Sheni. So vis-a-vis Pesach Rishon, that represents one kind of accounting. But then for Pesach Sheni, that's a different accounting. So in other words, the count sometimes changes from Pesach Rishon to Pesach Sheni. It's just a question of how we do the accounting. I assume Rav. Obviously I didn't look it up. Not obviously. I didn't look it up, but I assume Rav. Especially on Issa V'Heter. Okay, and one more major discussion to go in terms of Pesach B'Tumah. Okay, the big concept coming up over the course of today's daf, I call this the beginning of today's daf. You like my move? Right? In other words, even though we're really an amud away from today's daf, but, you know, for purposes of making myself feel better, so I'm now saying we're officially on today's daf, even though here we are on Pyramid Base. Now, but the story goes like this. In other words, we are going to be discussing now another form of tumah. It's called tumasat tahom. I'll introduce it in just a moment. I'll give an explanation for it, and we'll try to wrap our head around the idea, but basically like this. Okay? We're going to be discussing over the course of this morning that under certain circumstances, you offer the Karban Pesach and something is Tameh. Now, right now, I'll leave it as a very ambiguous something. Something is Tameh. So under certain circumstances, it's okay. I mean, we're talking about Pesach Rishon. We're not talking about Pesach Sheni. So, but under certain circumstances, given that, you know, the stars align, and I'll explain what the stars are in just a moment, but given that the stars align, so it's going to be fine. And you fulfilled your mitzvah of Pesach, even though, as we're going to be discussing, maybe you won't even be able to eat the Karban Pesach, fine. It's fine. In other words, this year we're going to bring, even though the Pesach came in a state of tumah, it's under certain circumstances it's going to be okay. And so what we're going to be discussing from this point going forward for the remainder of today's daf, and tomorrow's daf is this idea that under certain circumstances it's going to be okay. And by the way, that will for the most part end our discussion of Pesach B'Tumah. We have a little bit more to go, right? We have certainly more to go in the seventh parak, but this is going to be our last major discussion of Pesach B'Tumah. Okay. HaPesach Shenizrak Dama V'Achach Achnoda Shehu Tameh Hatzitz Meratzah. So first and foremost, we've touched on this idea before, but now the Mishnah is discussing it straight on, and that is the following. The Kohen Gadol wears 8 begadim, 8 garments. One of them is the tzitz. Now, this idea is expressed, take a look at Rashi and Chumash, he talks about this. So you take a look at Gemara's back in Zvachim and Achos. We spent a considerable amount of time talking about this. But each one of the begadim have a special power that's invested in the begad. Okay? Clothing make the man. Over here, we're saying more than just clothing make the man. We're saying that the begadim of the Kohen Gadol actually affects tahara, meaning it accomplishes something. So we're going to be speaking specifically about the tzitz, that's the head plate that's worn by the Kohen Gadol. The gold head plate, it says Kodesh LaHashem on it. So that's powerful. And its power is that it can take something which is tameh and make it acceptable. Meaning that even though the carbon itself is tameh, and even though under normal circumstances you say, well, can I offer this carbon? Of course not, it's tameh. But if it's brought up, the tzitz provides what's called the ritzui. A ritzui is this idea that the tzitz says it's okay. the tzitzel make it okay. So for an example, the first part of the Mishnah, the first statement of the Mishnah is that Pesach shenizrach namo, let's say I sprinkle the blood of the carbon Pesach, v'archa kach noda shutame. The simple pshat in the Mishnah, which is, as we'll see, one of the Amoraim doesn't buy into the simple pshat, but the simple pshat in the Mishnah is, I only learned after I sprinkled it, hey, you know what? That blood was tame. You didn't know that. I'm telling you. The blood was tame. So, hatzitz maratza, the tzitz will tell us it's okay. Now, there's an interesting Rashi over here. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this Rashi, although it's important, though. The first Rashi on the Mishnah. The first Rashi in the Mishnah says, what was tame? So if you take a look at the very first Rashi in the Mishnah, so Rashi says, either the Karban Pesach or the blood. Okay. Right? That's such an exciting Rashi. Yeah, the truth of the matter is, yes, it is. It's a very exciting Rashi. And a very controversial Rashi. Because from Rashi, it sounds like that even if the Karban Pesach itself is tame, the tzitz, by post facto, is going to make everything okay. Now that's very difficult because, and this is not my point, this is Tosfos, you can see all this in the second Tosfos on the Amud. I'm not going to go through it right now, I'm just touching on the issue. This is a very controversial point of Rashi because we spent a lot of time in the course of the past week talking about how if the meat of the Karban Pesach is Tameh, so then what do you got? You don't have a Karban Pesach. Remember, we discussed time and again how the Karban Pesach is supposed to be eaten, and if the meat's tummy, you're not, certainly not allowed to eat it, meaning no one's going to say that the tzitz will allow us to sit down and eat the Karban Pesach. So it's hard to imagine that if the Karban Pesach itself is tummy, so then the tzitz is going to provide ritzui when I can't even eat the Karban Pesach. So seek Tosfos for a discussion of that. But right now, for our purposes, we're going to keep it simple. I'm just going to present the Mishnah like Rashi, but please understand, though, that it can really become a much more involved discussion. So if the meat or the blood becomes tamei, and I only find out about it after the fact, it's fine. The Mishnah says it's fine. Why? Power of the tzitz. The tzitz creates a ritzui, creates an acceptance of this carbon. Nidma haguf in its tzitz maratza. But here's where the conversation does not get off the ground. Let's say it's not a problem with the carbon. Let's say it's a problem with you. You're tamei. Says the Mishnah, if you're Tamei, there's nothing to talk about. Meaning, carbon's no good. And as Rashi points out, Rashi says, what's the difference between a carbon being Tamei and you being Tamei? So Rashi says, take a look at the third narrow line of Rashi, V'chayev la'asos Pesach sheni d'habisha zrika lav bar me'abed Pesachu d'rachman adache. Because what's your Tamei, that's it. Meaning, as far as the Torah is concerned, you get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. Obviously, by the way, we're talking about Tumas Meis. Okay. So, fundamental difference between the carbon being Tameh versus you being Tameh. The carbon being Tameh, Tzitz can help that situation out. You being Tameh, Tzitz is not going to do anything. Okay. So, wait just one moment. It's the right question to ask. Just give it a moment, because the Gemara is going to ask your very question. Nin ma'aguf and tzitz maratzah and neisham or anaz v'ra'os ha'pesach tzitz maratzah tumas adam ve'ein tzitz maratzah tumas haguf. Because when it comes to the tzitz, it can only help the blood, but it cannot help you, says the Mishnah. Nin ma'tumas ha'tahom tzitz maratzah. However, if it's tumas ha'tahom, so the tzitz is going to be maratzah, the tzitz will work for that. Okay. Now, you're going to hear this term a lot over the course of today and tomorrow. Let's just get comfortable with this term. It doesn't translate well into English. Tumas ha'tahom means the tumah of the deep. Okay, it sounds mysterious. Okay, now Danny says it's a question of suffix, meaning it's doubtful. Danny's right. Just to be a little bit more specific, let's take a look at Rashi. Nitma gufa b'tumas ha'tahom. Betumas suffix. So Rashi already says right away that what is tumas ha'tahom? It means it's a suffix. Now to be clear about what Rashi means by that, because Mefarsh B'Gemara is Zemaratza. The halach l'moshe misina hi dehutra tumas ha'tahom lahem. Kedamra B'Gemara. So first of all, Rashi takes us right to the punchline. The Gemara, we're not going to see the Gemara until the end of today's daf. Hopefully we'll get there. We're not going to see the Gemara until the very end, but just know from the very beginning, it's good to know from the beginning, that this halacha, that if it's a suffik tumah, now we're not talking about the karma, we're talking about you. If it's a suffik tumah, so the halacha la Moshe Misina is is that you're good, meaning the carbon's good. If you know your tamei, no discussion to be had. You get pushed off to Pesach Sheni. And even if someone checks the carbon on your behalf, doesn't matter. It's not going to help you. You're going to get pushed off. But if it's Tumas Atahom, if it's Safek, so now you're okay. But and now Rashi says it's Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. So right away, I just want to clarify one point, which needs clarification. Meaning, compare what Rashi says and compare what we just learned in the Mishnah. Meaning, look at the last four words of the Mishnah. The last four words of the Mishnah say, you know why Tumas Atahom is okay? Because it sits as Meratzeh. So from the Mishnah, what does it sound like? It sounds like it's a function of the tzitz. Now go back to Rashi. What does Rashi say? Now it's not Rashi, it's really the Gemara later on. So the Gemara later on says, do you know why this is so? Why Tumas Atahom is okay? Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Well, which one is it? Is it the tzitz or is it the Halach LaMoshe MiSinai? Now, I guess you could argue, well, maybe the Halach LaMoshe MiSinai is that the tzitz is Meratzeh. Yeah, you can make that argument. Although it's a little bit difficult, meaning if it's really a function of the tzitz, so why doesn't the Gemara just simply say it's a function of the tzitz? So the way that's traditionally stated is that really, in fact, this is a halach l'moshe m'sinai. In fact, if you look at the Rambam spells it out, it's a halach l'moshe m'sinai, and the fact that the Mishnah says that it's the tzitz that's working over here. Perhaps one could argue that what the Mishnah is talking about is not you per se, but the actual carbon itself. Meaning that the tzitz will provide a ritzui of the carbon. But as far as your obligation and the fact that you were yotzei, you fulfilled your obligation, Karban Pesach, that's Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Okay, but I want to read on in Rashi because now this is important. Because what we're going to do is we're going to give ourselves the definition of what does that mean? Tumas HaTahom. What is that? So Rashi writes, if a Tosefta Mefarsh Lahachi. So, Rashi quotes the Tosefta. Ketzad amar lo kever hayayim cha bebayis shenichnesus bo tachas ha'evin sheyashva aleha v'noda lo ashelo asa pischa. Okay, so let's start off a nice simple case. You walk into a house, there's a dead body there. Or you walk over a stone, or you're sitting on a stone, and somebody informs you, hey, there was a dead body over there. Okay, so now your tummy, and your tummy mace. So you get pushed off. Fine. Now, what's critical? When you learn about it. Meaning, if you learned about it before you offered your Pesach, you're deferred. If you learned about it afterwards, that's Tumas HaTahom. So in other words, the way Rashi sets it up, and again, it's really Tosefta. The way the Tosefta sets it up is that you didn't know that you were Tamei, meaning you walked into a house, you simply had no idea. You sat on a stone, you had no idea that there was a dead body buried underneath the stone. So you had no idea. Your point of discovery was after you offered the Karban Pesach, Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai dictates, you fulfilled your obligation. Now, by the way, after you discovered your Tamei, you know what you are. Your Tamei. Which means, of course, you can't eat the Karban Pesach, you can't participate, but because at the time of the offering, you didn't know, so the Halach LaMoshe MiSinai dictates, you fulfilled your obligation. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to go through the second half of Rashi. Rashi just simply tells us, same thing is true regarding a Nazir. Meaning this particular Halach of Tumas HaTahom is true by Karban Pesach, and it's true by Nazir as well. I'll come back, we'll discuss Nazir a little bit later on. Okay, good. So far, so good. What do we have? We have a Mishnah. The Mishnah makes three separate points. Point number one in the Mishnah. If the meat, let's say the blood, I know Rashi said the meat, but if the blood becomes Tameh, the blood of the carbon becomes Tameh, and, well, as Hedy points out, and the Gemara is going to have this discussion, but let me just say now, Bidi Evid, meaning somebody sprinkled the blood anyway, that's fine. Tzitz is going to take care of that. If you're Tamei, Tzitz is not going to help you at all. You're going to be deferred to Pesach Sheni, and you didn't fulfill your obligation. And then the third point of the Mishnah is that if it's Tumas HaTahom, which means that you were Tamei, but you did not know about it, and the point of discovery only occurs after the fact, after the Karban Pesach is brought, the Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai states, you fulfilled your obligation of Karban Pesach. Good. three separate points in the Mishnah. Let's begin the Gemara. Time of the Nizrach v'achar kach no daval no daval kach Nizrach lo meratza. So the first discussion of the Gemara is going to be the point that Hedy raised back in the Mishnah, and that is, well, what if you knew the blood was tamei and you sprinkled it anyway? Well, it sounds like from the Mishnah that's no good. Or Aminu. That's what it sounds like from the Mishnah. Here's the problem. I'm going to quote, the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa. Amat tzitz meratza al adam v'al abasar. So the tzitz provides an atonement for blood and meat. Al chelev, or on the fats. Shenitma, bein b'shogig, bein b'mezid, bein b'onis, bein b'ratzon, bein b'yachad, bein b'tzibor. The Braisa says, even if it happens b'mezid, it's still going to be okay. Again, not certainly not lechatzchil. It's not the best way to bring a carbon, but post facto, it's going to be okay. Now, So, and that's the brisa. So, what's the problem? The problem seems to be pretty straightforward. Our Mishnah sounds like only after the fact, meaning only if someone by accident sprinkles the blood, it's going to be okay. What does the brisa say? No, not even an accident. The Kohen knows the blood was tamei. He's sprinkling on the mizbeach. The brisa says that's okay. Meaning it provides a ritzui. So I have a disagreement between the Mishnah and the Braisa. I'm Ravina. So approach the two approaches. Approach number one, Ravina. To Maso ben Bishogi ben Bemezid Hortza Zrikaso Bishogi Hortza Bemezid Lo Hortza. So Ravina gives a very simple explanation, and really it's elegant. Meaning, look, in terms of how it becomes Tamei, doesn't matter. Meaning the blood becomes tamei either by accident or on purpose. It doesn't matter. In terms of the sprinkling of this tamei blood on the mizbeach, now it's going to matter. Meaning if it was bishogeg, meaning it was an accident. Kohen either forgot that it was tamei, or the Kohen thought it was okay. In other words, if it was bishogeg, the tzitz will take care of that. But if the Kohen knew full well that the blood was tamei, and he sprinkles on the mizbeach, knowing that he shouldn't have done that, that the tzitz is not going to help out.
Doesn't that put the concept of lishma into limbo? If you really are doing the mezid and it's supposed to be done lishma, aren't you really putting that?
Okay, but in other words, no, I don't think so. I really don't think so. The lishma just simply tells you that you have to have the right person in mind, the right carbon in mind. Yeah, everything was aligned.
You know that this is not.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Meaning, understood. The Kohen's doing something that he knows you shouldn't be doing. But the lishma is just simply going on. Type of carbon, right person. I understand your point, but it doesn't really negate the lishma aspect of it. But what it does do is it certainly speaks to the idea of, hey, Cohen, you shouldn't have done that. So according to Ravina, fine. Not only are we right, but the tzitz doesn't provide an atonement. It only provides an atonement if it was done b'shogeg. What about the brisa? The brisa was just talking about how the blood contracted tuma. But once the blood is tamei, now we're going to make a very simple distinction, which is that if the Kohen sprinkled the bishogeg, tzitz takes care of it. If the blood was sprinkled bemezid, tzitz is not going to take care of that. That's approach number one, and I'll say that's the easy approach, because it doesn't really, it leaves our Mishnah totally intact, and it does a good job explaining the braisa. Good. Approach number two, a more difficult approach. Rav Shila Amar Zvikaso ben Bishogeg ben Bemezid Hortza. Rav Shila says, no, if the blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach, and the Kohen even knew it was Tamei, and he knew he shouldn't have done it, fine. Tzitz will take care of it. Tum Aso Bishogeg Hortza ben Bemezid La Hortza. But as far as contraction of the Tuma, how did the blood become Tamei? Well, it's only going to work if the blood becomes Tamei Bishogeg. Meaning someone by accident has the blood coming into contact with Tuma. But if someone's metame the blood biyadayim, meaning knowing that the blood's going to become tame, then that blood is never going to create a ritzui. But according to Rav Shilo, if the Kohen sprinkles the blood on the mizbech and he knows the blood is tame, that's okay. Now, to which the Gemara says, really, that's okay? What about our Mishnah? Elahadik tani ben mishogeg ben bemezid hachi kamar. Well, I'm sorry. Before the Mishnah. What about the Braisa? Hachi kamar. Nidma bishogeg v'zarka ben mishogeg ben bemezid hortza. So first of all, as far as the Braisa is concerned, when the Braisa says it doesn't make a difference, that's talking about the zrika. But in terms of the contraction of the tuma, there it does make a difference. Now, The Hadik Tani Damshin Nizra Vachakach Noda, Taima de Nizra Vachakach Noda, Avanoda Vachakach Nizra Lo. So now the Gemara says, okay, now what about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says, you sprinkle the blood, and after you sprinkled, you then discovered, hey, that blood was Tame. Which again, a simple reading of our Mishnah would indicate that the only way that Tzitz creates Ritzui is only post facto. Meaning, but at the time when you sprinkled, you either forgot that it was Tame, or you thought it was okay. Meaning it was a case of Shogeg. So the Gemara's explanation of our Mishnah is, no, who didn't defil no devachakach nizrak? What you can argue is, no, our Mishnah would be true even if you knew about, even if the Kohen knew about it before he sprinkled. Okay, so to which the Gemara's explanation is, well, our Mishnah only chose that language for the purpose of symmetry. Because when the Mishnah gives us a second case about the person being Tameh, there it doesn't matter whether he knew before or after the fact. So because the Mishnah uses the language of over there, so therefore now backtracking to the previous Mishnah, to the first part of the Mishnah, that's why the Mishnah uses the language of Nizrak V'Achakach Noda. Okay, so basically, let me just quickly summarize. We're done with this part? I think so. Right? I just read to the two dots?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, so let's just quickly summarize. So again, we know that if the blood is tamei and sprinkled on the Mizbeach, it's fine. The tzitz is meratzeh. Now, from the simple reading of the Mishnah, that's only if, when the Kohen sprinkles, he forgot. In other words, it was tamei, he forgot, he learns about it after the fact. The tzitz creates a ritzui. So there are, the problem is the Braisa. The Braisa says it doesn't matter. So there are two approaches. The first approach is Ravina, which is, in terms of how the blood becomes Tamei, doesn't matter. Shogeg, Meiz, it doesn't matter. In terms of the sprinkling onto the Mizbeach, there it matters. In other words, in order for the Tzitz to work, it has to be B'Shogeg. That's approach number one, that's Ravina. Second approach is Rav Shila. Rav Shila says, no. In terms of sprinkling on the Mizbeach, doesn't matter. Shogeg, Meiz, it doesn't matter. In terms of how the blood becomes Tamei, the tzitz only works if the blood becomes tameh through an act of shogeg. But if the blood becomes tameh b'mezid, so then the tzitz is not going to work out.
Okay, the
and they're opposite of one another, and Ravina's smoother because Ravina fits in perfectly into the Mishnah. He fits into the Braisa, right? Not perfectly, but it's Rav Shila's pshat which is more difficult because there you really have to. You have to reread the Mishnah, you have to reread the Braisa, it's a more difficult pshat. And the Gemara, by the way, doesn't go through Svaras in terms of why. Well, in other words, what makes Rav Shila's pshat better than Ravina's pshat? I assume Ravina. I see the Rambam is cited by Ravina, so I assume it's Ravina. So in other words, the tzitz only is going to work if when the Kohen sprinkled the blood, he did so b'shogeg. Okay. Huh? And it doesn't right, and then correct, and it doesn't matter how the blood becomes tummy. Nidma tumasatahom. Here we go. Okay, for the remainder of today's daf, we get to discuss now tumasatahom. Now, by Rami Bar Chama, so we start off with a question. So again, our Mishnah is very clear that if you are tumasatahom, and that means now that you didn't even know you were tummy, and the point of discovery occurs after the Karban Pesach is brought, the Halacha Moshe Mesina says, you fulfilled your obligation of Karban Pesach. Obviously, you won't be able to eat it, but you fulfilled your obligation. You don't have to worry about Pesach Sheni. I'll see you next year in Jerusalem. Okay. So we start the discussion over here. We know there's a halacha l'moshe misina about tumasat tahom. That's a given. You're not going to find this anywhere in the Pesukim in the Torah. It's halacha l'moshe misina. The question begins with, who's included in this halacha l'moshe misina? The owner of the Karban Pesach, yes. How about the Kohen doing the Avoda? Is he also included in this Halacha Moshe Misinai? So that's where the discussion begins. Nidma Tumas Atahom, by Rami Bracham, Kohen Amrasa, Bekarban Hasem, Hucho Lo Tumas Atahom, Olo. Mi Amrina Ki Gemir Tumas Atahom, Bebalim, Bekohen Lo Gemiri, Odilma, Bezivcha Gemiri, Lo Shna Bekohen, Lo Shna Bebalim. Good. So this is our discussion for today. Is this halacha Moshe Mitzrayim limited just to the owner of the Karban Pesach? Or even the Kohen doing the Avoda with the Karban as well? Amar Rava Tashma. So Rava says, how about this? We're going to learn together now with Braisa, and based on, not what the Braisa says, but the inference of the Braisa, I think we'll figure it out. It's a short Braisa. Tumas Atahom is only true by Tumas Meis. Period. Okay, that's good. And where do we go from here? So now the Gemara reads into the Braisa. So, Meis Lamut Emai. Okay, now, only Tumas Meis. Excluding who? What? So, my love Lamut Tumas Atahom, the Sheretz. Okay, so presumably it means, instead of Tumas Tahom, Toma Meis, we're now talking about Tumas Tahom, the Sheretz. Which means, again, you came into contact with the Sheretz, but you just simply didn't know. And the point of discovery occurs after the fact. So the Gemara says, now, who are we talking about? Meaning, who came into contact with the Sheretz and didn't know about it? So if we're talking about the owner, so the Gemara says, okay, and? Look, because remember, Tumas Atahom applies to two people, Karban Pesach and the Nazir. Nazir, he doesn't have to. Sheretz isn't even in his vocabulary. meaning, a Nazir touches a Sheretz. Okay, not a big deal. The only time the Torah says to the Nazir, you got to go back. You got to start counting again. And before you do that, you got to bring your kabanos. Is only if he comes into contact with a mace. There's no discussion to be had about a sheretz. Granted, the nazir is going to be tamei when he touches the sheretz. But so what? It doesn't affect his minyan, his counting at all. So as far as the owner of the carbon is concerned, sheretz doesn't even become part of the discussion.
But if it's the nazir, they send him to carbon pesach, no?
But let me try to be clear. This halacha, Lamoshe Misina, of Tumas Atahom, is specific to two people. Meaning, not the Nazir bringing the Karban Pesach. It applies to two people. It applies to a person bringing the Karban Pesach, and it applies to Nazir. So, and if we're talking about the Nazir, what are you talking about, Sheretz? It doesn't affect him at all. So, Ela Be'Ose Pesach. So, obviously, what we're talking about over here is Ose Pesach, which means the one actually doing the Karban Pesach, otherwise known as a Kohen. Meaning not the owner of the Karban Pesach, but the one doing it. So now, if the whole discussion works out, if we subscribe to the viewpoint of you don't shecht and you don't sprinkle over someone who's Tami Sheretz. So, right, Tumah Yaduah, meaning, even if I know I'm Tami Sheretz, you can still offer the Karban Pesach. But if I don't know, so that's if I know. So if I don't know, it's fine. So, El Allah B'Kohen. So we're not talking about the one who's bringing the Karban Pesach, but rather we're talking about the Kohen. Ushma Minah Huchulo Tumas Atahom. And so therefore, okay, let's see now if we can get it all straight. So again, this Braisa, it's a short Braisa. All the Braisa says is that Tumas HaTahom is only for Mace, for Tumas Mace. Now again, if we're talking about the one bringing the Karban Pesach, he's meaning, and we're trying to say that for him, Sheretz is okay. What do you mean? Even if he's Vaday Sheretz, he'll be okay. So if it's a suffix, he'll for sure be okay. So now, what are we saying? That's not talking about the one who we're bringing the Karban Pesach on behalf. It's talking about the Kohen who's doing the Avoda. Ushmamina, Allah b'Kohen, Ushmamina, Huchulah Tumas Atahom. And so therefore, the conclusion will be that Tumas Atahom is okay for the even for the Kohen. I'm Rav Yosef, La'olam b'balam, b'pesach l'mut, Tumas Atahom d'ziva. So Rav Yosef jumps in, Rav Yosef says, no. The Braisa is not talking about the Kohen doing the Avoda. The Braisa is talking about the one who's bringing the Karban Pesach. And the Braisa says, limited to Tumas Meis, meaning excluding what? excluding Ziva. Utumasom de Ziva love Miratza Vatanya. So the Gemara now is going to get into a discussion of Tumas Tahom for Ziva. Okay, so let me do the following. Okay, because now it's going to get involved. But just for the time being, just so that we are clear about this, let me just quickly wrap up what we saw so far today, and I'll set ourselves up for tomorrow's daf, and we're going to be able to successfully navigate through tomorrow's daf. We have this idea now of Tumas Tahom. The Braisa says Tumas Tahom is limited to mace. Now that means as follows. I came into contact with mace, I just had no earthly idea. I mean, I guess that's a great way to say it. Tumas Tahom means it's the deep, meaning nobody knew about it. I had no earthly idea I came into contact with Tuma. What happens is I bring the Karm Pesach, and then after having brought the Karm Pesach, someone notifies me, hey, you know, you were Tame Mace. Right? We just discovered it. We were digging, and there was a body, and I know you were in that house, and you are Tame. So now the Halacha Moshe Mesinai dictates, it's fine. Meaning, the carbon Pesach that you brought is going to be acceptable. It'll be fine. Now, what the Braisa tells us is, this is limited only to Tumas Mace. Meaning, but not to another type of Tuma. What we thought it was excluding was the Sheretz. Now, if it's excluding the Sheretz, by process of elimination, it's not talking about the guy who's bringing the Karm Pesach, but it's talking about the Kohen who's being mockery of the Karm Pesach. What the Gemara now is going to suggest is, no, it's not talking about the Kohen, it's talking about the Makriv, and the point is that when we're saying that it were excluding Tumas Mace, it were including Ziva. Now, what we're going to basically be discussing is that under certain circumstances, if you're a Zav, and even if you know you're a Zav, I know this is going to sound strange, under certain circumstances, you can bring your Karm Pesach. As opposed to Tumas Mace, where you can't. Okay. And so what we'll be discussing is, over the course of tomorrow's daf, which really I know is today's daf, we're going to be discussing is, what exactly are those circumstances where you know you're a Zav, and meanwhile, it'll be okay. You could bring your Karm Pesach. So that'll be tomorrow's discussion. Okay, well, I'll start off tomorrow by explaining. I really have to go through, and this is why I got to stop now, I got to go through the basics of how Zav works, how his Tameh, how he finishes his Tumah, how he completes the Tumah, all that we're going to be discussing tomorrow. No. This is no longer a question of majority, minority. This is a question of the person is Tameh. It's just a question now of the point of him knowing and realizing that he's Tameh.